Good afternoon, everyone, and thank you for joining us today for this teleconference on Proposition 23 in California. My name is Roan Resch, and I'm president and CEO of the Solar Energy Industries Association. SEA is a nonprofit trade association representing over 1,000 companies across the supply chain and serving all markets, residential, commercial properties, and utility clients. We represent all solar technologies as well, including photovoltaics, solar water heating, and concentrating the solar thermal. Just a reminder, this call will be recorded, and we can make that available to you as soon as we have the final recording. I'm very pleased that we have brought together such a diverse group of speakers for this call. It really speaks volumes to how serious this issue is. Also joining me today are Dave Foster, Executive Director of the Blue Green Alliance, Chris Youngmark, District 12 Assistant Director for the United Steelworkers, Marty Legode, Clean Energy Network Vice Chair and Partner at Fire Lake Capital, and Nancy Fun, Managing Partner at DBL Investors. Each of us will speak for a few minutes. We will then open up the call to your questions. Bringing together leaders from the labor community, the venture capital community, and the renewable energy industry is indicative of how much damage Proposition 23 will do in California in terms of job creation and economic growth if it passes this November. We are talking about literally hundreds of thousands of jobs and billions of dollars in economic growth, all lost. For the California solar market, which so many have worked so hard to build over the last few years, the effects would be devastating. Let me give you just a little context to what is at stake for the California solar market. In 2010, the U.S. solar industry is going to experience record growth, more than 110% over last year. So far this year in California, we have installed over 120 megawatts of new solar electric capacity. That's over one-third of all the solar electric installations this year. Installing solar requires jobs, lots of jobs, installer jobs that can never be outsourced. California is also a leading state for the solar heating and cooling market, second only to Hawaii so far in 2010. And just last week, actually just earlier this week, Interior Secretary Ken Salazar approved the first ever solar plant to be built on federal land, both in California. Building these projects will create thousands of construction jobs and create clean, reliable solar energy to power hundreds of thousands of homes and businesses in California. This momentum would be seriously halted if Proposition 23 passes. Yes. I am on this call from the last day of Solar Power International 2010 in Los Angeles. We have thousands of solar companies represented here at SPI, and many of them are from California. These companies are growing this market and creating new jobs. The excitement at this conference is absolutely inspiring, and I hope some of you have had a chance to walk through and just see exactly what I'm talking about, because the companies that were represented here are not only big companies, but a lot of small, innovative companies that have created, that have seen the opportunity in solar and have transitioned from other industries in order to expand their business here in California in the solar space. At the same time, though, these companies are very concerned about the effects on their small business if the fossil fuel companies are able to push Prop 23 in November. When I talk to these companies, I tell them that they have to get engaged, plain and simply. We can't have them on the sidelines. They need to participate in making sure that Prop 23 does not get passed. Earlier in the week, I recounted something my father always told me, and it's a very simple kind of principle, that the world is run by those who show up. So I've called upon the solar industry to show up on Proposition 23, to get the word out that this proposal, pushed by the big oil companies, will destroy the market in California and put them out of business. It is critical that California's renewable energy, labor, and investment communities must defeat Proposition 23. We must have companies contribute to the cause. We must host house parties. We must get the word out and encourage our friends and neighbors to vote against this outrageous proposal. With this, I would like to turn it over to Dave Foster, Executive Director of the Blue Green Alliance. Dave?
Thanks, Roan. And I would just second Roan's description of the Solar Power International Conference is really inspiring for the job creation potential of the clean energy economy, and what a travesty it would be if we step back from that in California. First, a quick word, though, about the Blue Green Alliance. We're a partnership of 13 national unions and environmental organizations with 14 million members around the country. Our members include manufacturing unions like the United Steelworkers, auto workers, and communication workers, service sector unions like the Service Employees, American Federation of Teachers and Utility Workers and Transportation Workers, construction unions like laborers and sheet metal workers. Our environmental partners include the Sierra Club, NRDC, Union of Concerned Scientists, and National Wildlife Federation. Together, we've created a shared vision that the great job-creating engine of the 21st century will be our environmental investments. Passing Proposition 23 will kill those jobs and push the clean energy industries off a cliff. In the middle of a recession, it's the biggest mistake we could make. That's why the 13 Blue-Green Alliance partners are united in urging their 2 million members and supporters in California to vote no on 23. America has a jobs crisis today, and we need to go forward, not backward. We know that clean energy policies like California's Global Warming Solutions Act works. They've proven themselves. For instance, on the federal level, the tax credits from the Recovery Act created the largest wind installation in U.S. history last year. In 2009, in the middle of the recession, solar grew by 17,000. The Advanced Energy Manufacturing Tax Credits created 18,000 new jobs and was oversubscribed by a magnitude of 400%. Our weatherization programs are on track to weatherize 600,000 homes and employ 30,000 people. All these kinds of jobs in construction, manufacturing, building, energy efficiency, they all benefit from California's high standards on clean air and water. Repealing them would be devastating. Studies show that these policies would provide economic benefits to California, and compared to a business-as-usual scenario, would by 2020 result in increased economic production of $33 billion, increased income in California of $16 billion, increased per capita income of $200 and more than 100,000 jobs. Killing California's global warming law will kill jobs for years to come in this state and leave our state vulnerable to the worst health and environmental effects of global warming. The proponents of Prop 23, largely funded by a few out-of-state oil refiners, claim that it would just, quote, suspend California's global warming law until unemployment is at or below 5.5% for four consecutive quarters. But since current unemployment is more than 12%, and since unemployment has held for a year at 5.5% in California only three times in three decades, this effort would destroy, not delay, the law and all the economic benefits that would accrue from it. That's why we're working so hard to defeat Proposition 23 and urge our 2 million members in California and all other Californians to vote no on 23 in November. Thanks, Ro.
Thank you, Dave. I'd now like to turn it over to Chris Youngmark with District 12 as the Assistant Director of the United Steelworkers. Chris?
Thank you, Ron, and I want to thank everyone else for inviting the steelworkers to be involved in this call. The United Steelworkers recognized years ago that environmental change, global warming, was a real issue that had to be addressed and one that we have some control over our destiny on. With AB 32 passed in California, it gave us an opportunity to start that process in the United States, and we support the No on Prop 23 campaign. We are urging our members to vote No on Prop 23, and all our other partners working with the Blue-Green Alliance and the California Federation of Labor to kill the proposition. Environmental change is happening, and the jobs that are going to be produced in the green economy is real and are happening as well. And we want those jobs in the United States. We want those middle-class sustaining jobs in the U.S. China has recognized that this is an issue. They've dived in. They've built the infrastructure. The United States needs to follow. And with AB 32, that provides the incentive in California for the environmental movement, the corporations, the companies that want the opportunity to provide this service in the United States and build the green infrastructure to do so. If Prop 23 passes, it's going to kill those incentives, and it's going to kill the ability to maintain an employment level and build jobs that we're going to be able to build. This has been good so far with California, and the state The California Air Resource Board has been very cooperative from day one in working with the United Steelworkers and the Blue Green Alliance and the California Federation of Labor to solve the problems and the concerns that we've had in protecting the existing jobs that we have in the energy-intensive fields. This is not going to happen overnight. We're going to have to use a lot of oil, a lot of cement, and a lot of other energy-intensive industries produced now for years to come. We wanted to protect the jobs that we have and also provide the opportunities for the growth in the different sectors and the jobs that are going to come from that. Once again, we're supporting the NOAA 23. We thank everybody for their help on this, and thank you very much.
Thank you, Chris. Up next is Marty Legault, who is Vice Chairman of the Clean Economy Network, as well as partner at Fire Lake Capital. Marty, it's all yours.
Thanks, Ron. As Ron mentioned, I am the co-chair at Clean Economy Network, and at Fire Lake Capital, I'm the managing director and founder. The Clean Economy Network is the largest networking and educational advocacy organization focused on the clean economy. We have over 10,000 members and 17 chapters across the country. It's a bipartisan group. We have plenty of Democrats along with Republicans like myself. Fire Lake Capital is an early-stage venture capital firm that manages about $250 million, and we focus on clean tech investments. We've made we've invested in 25 companies. Many of them are headquartered in California. For the United States to be a global leader and for our national security, our economy has to have at its foundation a long-term, lowest-cost energy infrastructure. Technology is essential and the essential driver to meet that goal. And then once we have that technology development, it has to be deployed, which results in localized jobs. All of those efforts require major long-term investments. It's a lot of money that's required. Those investments are being made today, and California is a leader. It's a leader in the venture capital investments and the underlying technology, and it's currently a leader in deployment. But policy uncertainty could bring that progress and the necessary investments to a halt. Proposition 23 immediately would create the kind of uncertainty that could kill the investments that are here and that we're seeing today and that we need for the future. It's competitive out there. It's competitive with other countries, and California has to compete with other states. And Prop 23 would put California, which is currently a leader, at a considerable disadvantage. So we are very strong in our support for the No on 23 campaign. Thanks, Ron.
Thanks, Marty. Finally, to round out the perspective from the investment community, we have Nancy Fund, managing partner with BBL Investors. Nancy, great to have you.
Thank you, Roan. Thanks for being here, everyone. DBL Investors is in San Francisco. We pursue both investments that deliver both top-tier financial returns as well as social, economic, and environmental returns. So clean tech is a huge focus for us. And really, to put it simply, California's climate change policies drive the growth of the clean tech sector. And the clean tech sector is driving game-changing job creation in this state and beyond. I'm going to give you just a few examples from our portfolio, and Marty and any other venture capitalist active in this space would be able to give you dozens more. But just to put some numbers around what we're doing, one company and several of these, two of these companies are presenting at the show that Rowan and his colleagues are at. Solar City, which is based in Foster City, California, is a leading integrator, installer of solar, as well as a pioneer in financing solar in a way that makes it accessible to more and more Americans. This company, when we invested a few years ago, had just a couple dozen employees. Because of the growth in solar, by next year they're going to have over 1,000 jobs, and these are spreading into other states as well. These jobs are well-paying, they have good benefits, and they often have stock options. So this is the RX for what ails the California economy. Another example, Tesla Motors. We've all heard of Tesla Motors, the electric vehicle manufacturer based in Palo Alto and Fremont. This, by the way, this is the Solar Industry Association is our host. Many of the electric vehicles, the Tesla cells, end up being powered by solar chargers or chargers that exist in solar-powered homes. So there's a huge connection there in terms of growth. Many of you watched as Tesla was able to purchase California's NUMMI plant from Toyota earlier this year. Sadly, because of the demise of the car industry over the few years, this plant has had to be closed earlier and laid off some 5,000 employees. What Tesla is beginning to do is, as it builds a four-door sedan, is to rehire some of these employees on its way to building a car industry for the 21st century. And that means a car industry that addresses climate change and provides cars that are fun for people to drive. Finally, another solar company here in California, in Oakland, called Bright Source Energy, is building large-scale solar thermal plants in the desert and really introducing the term gigawatt into the solar energy generation vocabulary. It's not kilowatts, it's not megawatts, it's gigawatts, and it's about time. The company will soon break ground on its first plant in the Mojave Desert, creating over 1,000 jobs in the process. San Bernardino County, where this plant is going to be located, is experiencing some of our state's worst unemployment, and in the construction sector in that county, unemployment is over 30%. With companies like Bright Source and companies that are being funded throughout the state, we can solve California's unemployment problems as we address its climate change agenda. But to keep these companies thriving, we need to continue California's climate change leadership, and we need to defeat Proposition 23.
Thanks, Nancy. Great thoughts and comments by everybody, and I appreciate you being on the line. We will now open up the call to the reporters' questions. I'll turn it over to the operator who can explain how reporters can go ahead and ask questions. Mr. Operator?
Thank you. If you would like to ask a question or have a comment, please press star 1 on your telephone keypad. This will place your question in the order it was received. Once again, if you would like to ask a question, please press star 1 on your telephone keypad now.
I'm going to go ahead, that's pretty straightforward, star 1. I'm going to go ahead and just... And Dave, I'm going to ask it to you, if I can. I'm wondering if you can talk about how California's clean energy policies are driving job growth in the state. We can talk about 23 we have on this, with a little particular insight into the kinds of jobs we're talking about. You know, more specific as to, you know, and where that might occur in California.
Sure. Great question, Ron, and I think all the speakers have contributed already to talking a little bit about how those clean energy policies are precisely what creates jobs. It's a little bit of a truism when some of our opponents go out and say that government can't create jobs in the private sector, but that really begs the question. What government does is create the markets and the rules for markets that attract investment, and that investment then in turn goes out and creates all the jobs. And so California has been a leader in this regard for several decades, passing strong renewable electricity standards that attracted the development of solar and wind technologies, their installation and utilization in your state. California's leadership on energy efficiency has resulted in flat energy consumption, and that led to a great building energy efficiency industry. And so these aren't jobs that Californians are unfamiliar with. They're not jobs with weird skills that nobody has learned yet. They're the jobs of sheet metal workers installing building energy efficiency projects. They're the jobs of cement masons and carpenters building the forms and bases for wind turbine towers. They're the jobs of electricians hooking up all these great solar products that are being manufactured in California. And as our last speaker, Nancy, mentioned, they're the jobs of laid-off auto workers going back to work at new high-tech electric vehicles. And so California has been the leader in imagining the future in a clean tech economy. To turn the spigot off on such tremendous job-creating policies right at the moment that Californians need those jobs the most would be a tragedy. It would be foolhardy. It could only be the kind of notion of economic development dreamed up by some oil baron sitting in a Houston office. So we think so strongly, as I think most Californians will when they go to the polls, that voting no on Proposition 23 is our way of saying put people in California back to work.
Thanks, Dave, very much. Terry, I'm going to turn it over to you to take on our first question.
All right. Our first question comes from Simon Lomax at Bloomberg News.
Hi, guys. Can you hear me okay?
You sure can. Thanks, Simon, for joining the call.
No problem. Thanks for putting it on. Ryan, I wanted to ask you firstly, can you kind of quantify the sort of solar capacity? Can you quantify the potential California market for solar in terms of megawatts of capacity if AB 32 were to proceed as planned? Because I'm trying to get an idea of what's at stake for your members where Proposition 23 to succeed. I'm trying to quantify that if you could help me. And Nancy, I wondered if you could offer your assessment as to, if you can, similarly quantify what kind of stranded capital we might be talking about for other, you know, clean tech investments, particularly venture capital investments, if AB 32 were suspended.
Hey, thanks, Simon, for your question. Nancy, I'll just give a quick overview from the solar perspective and turn it over to you. This week we set out a vision for the solar industry, Simon, to achieve a 10 gigawatt annual installation market for solar by 2015. And a big part of that is going to be in California. Right now, the California, as a percentage of the total market, is in excess of 65%. But assuming it's just going to be 50% of the market going forward, which is a pretty safe assumption, you're talking by 2015 an impact of about 10 gigawatts of solar that would not have been installed potentially. And when you quantify that, you're talking about $50 billion of economic investment in those projects over the next 4.5 years. So it is very significant to our industry. The biggest impact is simply the limitations on the RPS and not expanding it to 33%. Clearly, this is a very, very important goal for the state, for the economy, and in particular for many of the workers in the solar industry here in California. Nancy, do you take it?
Yeah, I would just echo, Rome, that the 33% RPS standard that CARB just voted on is at risk if this Prop 23 passes. And so that, you know, the step up from 20 to 33% is huge, and it's significant. And the net impact, those assets won't be stranded. They'll go offshore. We'll build plants in North Africa, in China, in other places, and we'll lose those jobs. So any conference you go to these days in the clean tech sector talks about China, talks about the international market, and it's policies like Prop 23 that are keeping us competitive. And so you'll see, without that forcing function, you'll see capital migrate to places where it's easier to grow.
You know, and Simon, just to add another brief point on that, it's not only about the growth of the industry, but I think there's also a very real concern about how the industry would then shrink. So you're talking about a loss of a lot of jobs. I mean, the state of California has spent the last decade growing the clean tech industry, or really the world, but especially California is the epicenter. And in large part, Proposition 23 would dismantle much of the success and much of the investment that's already been made. And those who have careers here, they're going to be in jeopardy. So it's not just a limitation in the growth but also a serious impact in those who are already in the renewable energy space. Terry, can we have the next question?
Sure. Our next question comes from Tom Mobilico of Plant.
Good afternoon, Tom.
Hi, guys. Thanks for putting on this call. I'm sure you probably all heard that earlier today, the conservation voter said it would be committing $1.2 million to defeating Prop 23. I was curious what your groups are putting in or have put in already to defeating Prop 23 and monetary numbers similar.
This is Dave Foster from the Blue Green Alliance, and I'll jump in on that. Certainly, most of what we do is communications with our own members, which is not easily quantifiable. So we let, through the existing networks that our very large organizations have here in California, know the truth about Prop 23, and so it's that outreach member-to-member efforts to communicate with some 2 million members and supporters here in California about exactly how devastating this would be to California's economy. And that's not a number that gets quantified with TV ad buys, but when you think about the number of people that go to vote in an off-year election and you think about the impact that these kinds of direct member-to-member communications have in convincing Californians on right policies and wrong policies. So, for instance, we've linked our messages in with unions far beyond just the Blue Green Alliance to communicate with all of California's union members about what a faulty policy this is.
I don't know the exact numbers, but I know that venture capital firms, financial services firms across the state are contributing, are doing fundraisers, are really putting capital against this effort.
And this is Roan again. We're from a budget perspective, a fairly small trade association, but we did step up for the first time, and we put $20,000 in as an organization, but have done similar to what Dave has described. Is an outreach to all of our members, and companies like Sunrun have put in over $100,000, and SunPower and so many of the others have really stepped up and played a part in this. But, you know, at the end of the day, part of it is raising money and getting the message out, but it's really about getting the vote out. And so what's important that we've emphasized to our companies is to host house parties, is to, you know, talk to your neighbors and relatives and really make sure that there is a very strong grassroots campaign to defeat this proposition. Any others of the speakers want to provide a little bit of input about their own firm? Okay. Gary, can we have the next question, please?
All right. Our next question comes from Amy Harder.
Hey, Amy.
Hi, thanks for taking my call and hosting this teleconference. I actually have two questions. A little bit more about what you're doing for defeating the measure. You're talking about hosting house parties and whatnot. Are these focused mainly in California? Are you doing anything in D.C. on this at all? Are you talking with any other groups here in Washington and anything like that? And my second question is more on the policy side. You mentioned how important the RPS is and increasing it to 33. So would it be accurate to say that the RPS could stand on its own without the cap and trade system in there? Since that is our first, what you say is your top priority?
I'll say, you know, we need it all. I mean, the RPS is a key building block to a climate change policy that works and that creates jobs. But certainly cap and trade, which is embedded in AB 32 regulations, is also very important. So, we have enough to get started, but to really make the dent that we need to make, both global warming and unemployment, we need both those policies.
Let me jump in for a second. The issue here is policy certainty. and we've had a law that's been on the books for several years now, and it's becoming getting ready to be implemented. And to start horse trading and changing the game right now is what kills investment, because we're making investments over a long-term time horizon, and we want to go to places where there's policy stability. And to have a situation where you decide, like you just suggested, oh, well, let's just do part of it. We'll just run the, you know, chase this money away. And that's really what you need to focus on, is if you put down a set of rules and you stay certain and you tell everybody what those rules are and then you implement them, the investors like ourselves can come in here and deploy the capital intelligently. And if you start changing the rules or even threaten to change the rules, we get nervous and go somewhere else.
Hey, waiting. This is Dave Foster, and let me just jump in and make the point that within the unions that are in California so supportive of defeating Proposition 23, it's been very important to point out the direct linkages between the jobs we're doing today and the policies that California adopted in years past. And so we've been focusing, as Chris Fungard said, on linking up the markets that there are for cement and building all these energy efficiency and renewable energy projects, drawing the connections between the building and construction trades people that are working on making California buildings more energy efficient. And that's really been the focus of our campaign. This is an issue that Californians are going to decide. We're not campaigning to defeat Proposition 23 and other places and other states. But believe me, the rest of the world and the country will look and take notice of what California does. And it would be, again, as I said, a real tragedy for Californians to take a 12% unemployment rate and then pull the rug out from under the 500,000 green jobs that already exist in California, according to the recent PC survey study. It really would be kicking that unemployment rate up even higher.
And can I just add that, I mean, the renewable portfolio standard, as its name suggests, does create impetus for more renewable power, but it's not enough to, for example, drive energy efficiency investments, and that's not its purpose, so that a price on carbon, be it a carbon tax or a cap and trade policy, and there is a cap and trade mechanism in the regulations associated with AB 32 that Prop 23 would destroy, that's required to get the whole package, to get more renewables and more energy efficiency and alternatives to a carbon-based economy.
Great. This is Chris Youngmark. I will add one thing in addition to what Dave said. We are watching this on a national level, and it seems like everything else starts in California and moves eastward. When California can prove that this type of legislation and this type of forward thinking works and can show the success and the rewards of that, both in the short and the long term, other states and ultimately, hopefully, the federal government will follow. I'll say it again, these jobs are going to be produced somewhere. We want them produced in the United States, and it's going to start in California.
Great. Amy, we're going to have to get you out here to Solar Power International next year. I know you'd love it as an energy person, and it is truly a very high energy experience. Terry, go to the next question.
Sure. Our next question comes from Jennifer Coe.
Hi. You know, one thing, I've been asking a lot of companies, you know, like how this would affect them if this if Prop 23 passes. And, you know, a lot of companies are saying, like, well, you know, there's not really any specific impact on us, but that overall the industry, you know, it's really important. And so what I'm just wondering is, you know, like, we've been seeing this growth, and this obviously will take effect until next year, you know, what kind of effects can we expect if this did pass, you know, kind of like following on the what's at stake question, you know, would we be seeing that canceled? I mean, would this, you know, how would, the, you know, it seems kind of, it's sort of big you know, because it's something that would be happening in the future that we would then be moving, you know?
I'll start with that one for briefly. Last year, California received, or businesses in California had $2.1 billion of venture capital investment in clean tech. That's at risk. It's one big number to take a look at, and that's just investment in the technologies going forward. And it's $9 billion since 2005. Those are activities that are driven by a set of policies that are in play today, and you want to change the rules. Investors, you know, we have to go where we can make the returns we're looking for. And we will go where there's policy certainty. You change it, and the money is at risk.
And I think it's important to go back to the enabling legislation, AB 32, and look at what the policymakers are doing. And if there's a food chain in place, the laws that are being, the regulations that are being written to implement AB 32, which Prop 23 would destroy, are requiring industries across the board and cities and counties to lower their carbon footprint, and they're using various policy devices to do that. But that means that if you take that away, that whole infrastructure that will require everyone to lower their carbon footprint, you're going to reduce the need for energy efficiency investments, for solar, for wind, for geothermal, for better lighting, or more efficient lighting, for better HVAC, better windows, all of that. There's no one's going to keep score. And what AB 32 did and is doing is developing a way to keep score and have measurable impact, and thereby create markets for these kinds of products and services. So that's the impact that it has, and that's why it would have such a chilling effect. And it's not just in California. Everyone's looking at California. Unlike Las Vegas, what goes on in California rarely stays in California. So Prop 23 will have very deleterious effects.
That might be most of the
sorry, couldn't reach it.
Any other of the speakers would like to add their thoughts? Okay, well, that's the last question that we have in the queue. I'd like to thank everyone for dialing in, and I'd especially like to thank our excellent panel for taking the time out of their very busy schedule to discuss this critical issue. Hopefully we've been able to shed some light as to the economic impact and really the job impact, and how the renewable energy and labor and finance and venture communities are coming together to oppose Proposition 23.